Would you open up your heart to what God has for us? God, I pray right now for whatever you have for me this weekend, that you'll speak to me. God, I want to see greater things, but I know there's some things I got to get right first. I need to align my life right first. So, Lord, prepare me. Do whatever it takes this weekend to get my attention. Lord, give you my heart right now. Minister to us this weekend. Every song that happens, Lord, whether we like that genre or not, we're going to worship you with everything that we have. I pray for every young person that's here today, every elder that's here today, everyone in between. God, we praise you. We lift you up, Jesus. John 14, verse 12, you don't have to necessarily stand there. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater." Someone say greater. Greater, greater works than these shall he do, shall she do, because I go unto my Father. See, this is an incredible generation. This generation has technology at the grasp where they're so smart. You can literally learn so much stuff so fast. You guys are talented, more talented. You have more accessible to things than my generation had. But yet, why are the greater things not happening? I have to look in the mirror and say, I'm preaching this great youth revival this weekend about greater things. And we love that scripture, greater things will I do. But where are the greater things? We love hearing miracles, signs, and wonders follow. But where are they at? Because oftentimes we don't see them. We don't see the revival that's promised to us. So today we got to get our priorities right. I feel like I have a word from God for this night. If you would turn to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. So excited to be here. Brother Jeff, you are a dear friend of mine. I love you and your family so much. Can we give Brother Jeff, Sister Lisa, and Kelsey a hand? Pastor Maddox, he's a little bit intimidating. When I first met him years ago, he carries himself with such, you know, swag isn't a cool word anymore. I'm old. I'm showing my age. But the way he carries himself, he's very smart. He loves God. He has an incredible, incredible family. And I know a man of God is true when he has an incredible family. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here once again. I love it. And all the other pastors, can we give our pastors and leadership a hand? I saw my friend Jake Walden somewhere around here. I love Jake Walden. All the pastors, Brother Mills, Brother Folger. Love having you guys. Joshua chapter 5. So just a little bit of a secret that I'll tell you is this whole weekend I'm preaching from Joshua chapter 5 and Joshua chapter 6. So when you go home tonight, tomorrow, before church Sunday, read these two chapters. Just get familiar with what we're going to be talking about because it's really going to help us. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again. Someone say again. Circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. The second time. From that subject, I want to preach a covenant for greater things. Look to your neighbor and say, a covenant for greater things. Amen. So I'm so thankful for our elders. Who's over the age of 50 in this room today? That's awesome. Can we give our elders a hand? I'm so thankful for our elders because I know the reason I'm here is literally because of our elders. I'm thankful that the elders, they love the Word of God. They knew how to pray. They knew how to fast. They kept the Word of God. They fought battles when it wasn't popular to be Pentecostal. And I thank God for our elders. The reason we get to worship in such a beautiful church with padded seats and nice screens and air conditioning is because of our elders. I thank God for our elders. And a few things that our elders knew was that there is only one God. Someone say one God. They knew Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. They knew Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. They knew that there was only one God. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I love that our elders knew about the oneness of God, because that's how I know about the oneness of God. So we're going to pause this part of the sermon and we're going to start here, okay? Everyone say pause and then say start. So one thing that I'm very frustrated about in my generation, in my age group, is when a preacher says, man, if they're shouting for LeBron James and the LA Lakers or for the Atlanta Braves when they hit a home run, you should be shouting for God. And people will lick paint off the walls and hang from chandeliers and, wow, come on! And they'll shout. Don't we do that? When we say something negative against somebody, oh, y'all are building and pillaging in Fortnite, but you're not building the kingdom of God. Everyone's like, oh, come on, brother, preach. But yet when a preacher preaches the doctrine of God, that there is only one God, priorities. That's cute. There's one God. Wonderful. Say something, you know, about I should be shouting more than the stadium people and football games and stuff. Am I right? We got to get our priorities right. Because in order for the greater things to happen, we must love the Word of God. We must preach harder for the Word of God than anything else negative. Yes, still preach that stuff. But when a preacher preaches doctrine, we better be standing on our feet. We better be shouting more than ever. We better love this doctrine. The elders died for it. The elders loved it. So by God, I better love it. Generation, if we're going to have greater things, if the miracles, signs, and wonders are going to follow, we better get a hold of a love for truth. The reason I love truth so much is because I realize who I am. I am a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. Someone say, all have sinned. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, and the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to go to hell, a lake of fire because of our sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the elders, they knew this. And that's what I love about the elders. They went to John 3:5 when Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They went to Acts 2:37, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. They knew we needed to repent. 1 John 1:8-9. Says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They knew that we had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Someone say Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they knew we had to be filled with his Spirit, the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, Paul is saying, I would that you all would speak with tongues. Verse 18, he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And then in verse 39, he says, don't you dare tell someone that they shouldn't speak in tongues, because that's the initial evidence. And then now that we're in the church, now that we're born again, 1 Peter 2:9 says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. We must know that stuff. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness. Someone say holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. We must love those scriptures. We must know those scriptures. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Someone say holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the elders knew those scriptures. They loved those scriptures. That's why we are where we are, because they kept the word of God. They bought the truth and didn't sell it, like Proverbs 23:23 says. They knew, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by inspiration, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We must study to show ourselves approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our priorities aren't right, young people. We know so many stats about Kobe Bryant. We know so many stats about LeBron James. We know all the stuff on Instagram. We know all the latest memes, all the popular dances. But then when we come into the house of God, where are the dancers? We know how to do all the Fortnite dances and all that stuff. But then when it comes to God, we just pat a cake. We go through the motions. We say, man, I want to see greater things when it's camp time. I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. But where are they at, young people? There's no covenant. We're so much wrapped in the world. And you know me. I love to have fun. We're going to be goofy. I'm going to be screaming like a little girl at the corn maze tonight. I'll eat more chili than all of you guys. But when it comes to the house of God, when it comes to church, I must stop playing. I must worship with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the only way we're going to get the greater things, is if we have a covenant for the greater things. You can be seated. I thank God for my elders, but more than just bragging on my elders and preaching doctrine, I want to come and tell this generation we can't come complacent or become satisfied. For us to possess, someone say possess. For us to possess the greater things, we must have a covenant. Look to your neighbor and say a covenant. See, God promised that greater works will this generation do. I was at church Sunday. I got fed up. I said, God, you know, I want to see something crazy. I haven't seen in a long time. I want to be used in such a crazy way. And then I went back to the baptistry and I was baptizing somebody. And then I turned around because I thought that was it. That was the only person getting baptized in that moment. And when I turned around, a woman was there and she said, I'm not doing it. I said, okay, that's fine. Cause she had that look in her eyes. You know, she had that look. I thought she's going to cut me or something. She's crazy. And I was like, okay, I just prayed it. And I said, what are you not going to do? She said, I'm not getting baptized. I'm not praying. It's not going to work. God can't do it for me. And I looked at her, and then all of a sudden she starts spitting in the mouth. And I was like, okay, either she's crazy or she's demonically possessed. And so I said, I just prayed for it. So I started praying for her. A couple of the other ladies and some of the elders came around, and we rebuked the demon out of her in Jesus' name. And she was healed, and she was baptized that day in Jesus' name. Greater works can happen when we have a covenant. I'm nothing special. God wants to use you just like he wants to use me. God wants to use you to make revival happen in your church and in your city. God wants to use you to save your family. God wants to use you to teach a P7 Bible Club and start a CMI. The greater things are promised to us, but in order for us to possess them, we must get a covenant with God. Just because the elders had a covenant doesn't mean I have that same covenant. See, if my dad gets $1,000, that doesn't mean it's my $1,000. I know a lot of kids, that's like news to you adults. You understand what I'm saying. When I get $1,000, that's my money. But when my father gets $1,000, I might get a meal if I'm lucky. He might give me a few dollars for gas if I'm really lucky. And that's about it, because it's not my money. I can't say, well, you know what, that $1,000, 100 is going to go to tithes, 50 of it's going to go to offerings, and I'm going to buy some new shoes, I'm going to buy socks, because you got to have a sock game. I got a wife now, so, you know, when you got a girlfriend or a wife, all the money's gone, so I'll just hand the rest of it over to her, and she'll spend it or do whatever girls do with the money, put it in a blender, because that, you know, it's just gone all the time. That $1,000 isn't mine. So just because the elders had a promise of greater things, if we don't have the same covenant that the elders had, we're never going to possess those greater things. We might see some benefits of having great church services, of seeing moves of God, of going to a wonderful campground. But unless this generation gets serious about the word of God and living for God, we're never going to see the promises that God has for this generation. I was at dinner one year when I was in Bible college with an elder. He pastors in Missouri. I just got done preaching for me. We went to Cracker Barrel. And while we're talking, he's telling me all kind of crazy stories. He's telling me, he was like, remember when the first cell phone came out? I'm not that old, but I remember, you know, my first cell phone, it was like this big. And then, like, you had the giant antenna you had to pull out. Like, that's probably why there's so much cancer, because all the radiation from those giant cell phones. It was like this speaker that you're, like, carrying around, and you pick it up. They were like tanks. You could throw them to Nokias. They never broke. Screens would never shatter. You had that one game Snake where it's just a block, and then it eats another block. Some of y'all kids are like, I'm a dinosaur, I understand. That's how you know you're getting old, when you're preaching and people are like, what is he talking about? He told me the first time when his dad called him and said, hey, I have this box. And when you press start on the box, all of a sudden everything inside of it heats up. And the elder's like, what is he talking about? So he drove 2.5 hours after that phone call to see this magic box that when you click start, everything warms up inside of it. And that was his first time seeing a microwave. I was like, man, this dude is old. We need an oxygen tank quick. He's going any minute now, guys. Help him out. He remembers cell phones when they came out. He was on the ark with Noah. He's one of the three sons. Just old guy. And then we started to get serious. And he started to tell me about what he thought about this generation. And this is the quote. I wrote it down. He said, technology has made this generation lazy. They don't know how to work for anything anymore because they are so spoiled with everything at their fingertips. And I started to think about my life. Things that I do, that on my iPhone, I go to settings, and then I go to battery, and then there's a little clock thing, and I click it. It shows how many hours I've been on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and I have those things. It shows how many of those I've been on per day. And then I can go down, which I flipped it since I realized that, and I felt convicted, and I saw how long I spent on the Bible. Priorities. We want to see greater things. But man, I'll screen through all of Instagram for days looking for that post or just hanging out. How long have I prayed that day? We want to see the miracle signs and wonders, young people, but where is the commitment? We post a story and then we want to scroll through and see if that girl or that boy was actually looked at that story. We want to see how many followers we got, and that's what we're talking about, which is fine. That's fun to do. I have Instagram tag me and stuff. Let's have fun. Send me good memes that are appropriate. I love memes. You know, Bianca sends me crazy junk sometimes. Honey, how you do? Oh, what color you like? I like that kind of stuff. That's funny. Like, I'm a real person. I love it. But I can't get so caught up in Instagram that I haven't prayed that day. I can't get so caught up in all my text messages and my group messages and friendships that I haven't talked to my Savior that day. Because in order for us to possess the greater things, we must have a covenant. And I looked at that elder at Cracker Barrel, and I said, you know what? It seems that way, but I believe in my generation. And I believe in the generation coming after me because I see the moves of God that they have. I see them at camps. I see them at revivals. I see them at youth rallies when they're in the altar and they're weeping and they're not worried about what anybody else says. I see the commitments they make. And so what I'm saying is I'm not saying, oh, you're a horrible generation. You're worthless. Why am I even here? Y'all are garbage. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we need less of the world and more of the spiritual things. We need less of the Instagram and the Facebook. And we need more of prayer, more of fasting, more of Bible reading. That's what we need to get into because the elders did it. And that's how we got this far. And the only way we're going to possess the greater things is if we get a covenant like the elders had. We must get a covenant like the elders had. The church will fall apart. The church will not make it if our generation does not get a covenant. Joshua 5 verse 2. As I was reading my devotion, it says, at the time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives. Circumcise again the children of Israel. And I had to ask myself, why in the world they have to circumcise them again? I had to start studying. The first point is that the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land. This has been talked about for hundreds of years. And they're finally there. They're at the border of it. This is right before the Battle of Jericho. And then I started to read what circumcision is. It's a type of covenant relationship. It's a sign, it's a promise of a relationship that I'm set apart. And so it didn't make sense to me. Because I said, why did they got to get circumcised again? So I kept reading. In verse 4, it says, this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All of the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, some say the warriors, all the warriors died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they come forth out of Egypt, they were not circumcised. See, all the warriors died in the wilderness. All the people that saw the miracle signs and wonders, the 10 plagues, they saw the Red Sea open. They saw these miracles. They died. And now it's a new generation that was born in the wilderness. They were born on the way to the promised land. And they didn't have the same relationship. They didn't have the same covenant that the elders had before them. The elders didn't receive the promises in those days because they sinned. Moses disobeyed, so he said everyone 40 and up cannot inherit the promised land. But our elders aren't receiving the promise of the great revival that God has promised the end time because they're dying. It's not because of sin, it's because they're dying. Think of the great elders that we know. Brother H.E. Wheatley. Think of the great elders. Brother B.S. Cole. They're fragile. They're not going to be here forever. Sister Rachel Cole. Such a godly example of modesty and prayer. Man, when she gets a hold of you, she'll put the Shekinah inside of you whether you want it or not. She'll cram it in you. Think about these elders. Brother John's a 63. That's still young, but he's not going to be here forever. I'm not always going to be able to text, hey, pastor, what's the scripture on the oneness of God? Someone ask me a question. How do I know about the new birth experience? Hey, help me out, pastor. Because my pastor's not always going to be there. My pastor's going to die one day. Your elders are going to pass away one day. And as sad as that is, one day we're going to see them again in heaven. Would you close your eyes with me for a moment? Think about an elder in your life right now. We're not always going to be able to call on them. So we better take up the mantle. We're not always going to be able to get a hold of them. Come on, search your heart right now before we go any further in this service. The elders are passing on, and there's greater things ahead for this generation. But the only way we're going to possess it is if we have the promise. If you'd look at me. Children of Israel had to be circumcised because a new generation never had the same covenant that the elders had. And without the relationship, there is no promise. Look to your neighbor and say, without the relationship, there is no promise. There must be a relationship. There appeared this generation without warriors, and they didn't have a covenant, so they couldn't possess the greater things. And now they had to make a decision. Jesus looked at Joshua and said, circumcise again for the sake of the greater things. Our elders that witnessed Azusa Street. Our elders that gave sacrificially. Our elders that spoke in tongues when people was making fun of them. Our elders that had segregated churches when there was so much racism in the world. I mean, when they had churches that weren't segregated, there was so much racism in the world. Our elders are dying. And now we're faced with a dilemma, young people. We're at this alive 2018. Greater things and greater things are right before us. We're at the promised land. We're about to see a miracle, signs and wonders happen. But it's not going to be because of the elders. See, as sad as I am about Brother B.S. Cole passing away, I'm going to see him again in heaven. And I can't wait for that hug. He looks at me and says, I love you, DJ. He always grabs the back of my neck. Oh, I can't wait to see Brother Wheatley again. I can't wait to see these wonderful elders again. But there's one death that we can't let happen as the music comes. There's one death that can never happen. It's the death of the church. It's the death of your church, your youth group. Because there's no more prayer. Because there's no more Bible reading. Because there's no more fasting. We're so much on Instagram. We're so caught up in the world. We want to see greater things. But oh, look in the mirror. The church is going to die with the elders if the younger generation doesn't get the same covenant. I'm not going to let my church die with my pastor. I'm tired of young people coming to camps for years, crying at the same altars that I'm crying at. And we get so caught up in divisions and differences and the world and all this other garbage. Where are the true apostolics? Where are the ones that don't just dance for the world and know all the new popular things? But when church happens, whether the song is good or not, whether you like it or not, you're just free to worship. And you're just thankful that the God of heaven came down and died on a cross for you. Where are the young people that aren't going to compromise? not push the line of how much can I get away with and still be used of God? How much sin can I do? How much fun can I have? We're right at the promised land. God is coming back soon. The world is falling apart. And they're looking for a generation of Jake Waldens that aren't scared of what anybody else says, what anybody else does. And they're different from everybody else their age. And they're going to preach the word of God in truth. They're not worried about what people think about them. We still believe in one God. We still believe in the new birth experience. We still believe in the Holy Ghost infilling you, evidence of speaking in other tongues. We still believe in a holy lifestyle that's set apart from the world unto God. Brother Maddox, I love you. I love seeing you at camp. You work so hard. But one day, Brother Maddox is going to go on to glory. Who's going to take his place? Are we going to play around so much that when we get there, we don't know what to do? There's greater things in front of us as we all stand. God commanded Joshua to get a covenant. Because in order for the greater things to happen, we must have a covenant. Why do so many young people backslide? They don't have the relationship. Their priorities are all wrong. And so this altar call might not be for everybody, which is fine. I'm not going to judge you. And if someone judges you, they're wrong anyways. They need to be here repenting. But if you know, and I'm going to come and find my place too, that as a generation, we got to do better. Why are there only 3 teams in Bible quizzing in the Georgia district? Why are there only 15 P7 Bible clubs? Why? Who are you teaching a Bible study to next week? My guy's name is Dwight. Who are you teaching a Bible study to? That's what the elders did. That's how the church grew. Are you laying hands on somebody believing that they're going to be filled with the Spirit as you lay hands on them? Well, then why do we think greater things are going to happen if we're not doing what the elders did to get us here? The church is going to die with the elders if this generation does not get their act together. But I say, not at Alive 2018. I'm going to make my way to an altar. I'm going to consecrate myself to God. I'm going to live this truth. I'm going to love this truth. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Why? Because greater things are in stake for those that have a covenant. That's it. Lift your voice right now. Lift your voice right now to God. Come on, stop worrying about the person next to you. They'll be attracted to you if you really cry out to God. Come on, let's evaluate our hearts before we come to this altar. How much time are we spending on social media? We're binging in Netflix. When's the last time we binged in the Word of God? Come on, let's search our heart, young people. Miracles, signs, and wonders, greater works than these shall we do, young people. This is our generation. I want to see end time revival. I want to see my family saved. I want to be used of God, but I must have a covenant. I must love the Word of God like the elders. Come on, lift your voice right now. Come on, cry out to God right now. Come on, we're not wasting any more time. I'm getting serious about God tonight. The church isn't going to die with B.S. Cole. The church isn't going to die with Brother Wheatley. I'm going to keep the torch going. I'm going to keep the flame lit. Come on, why are you waiting on the preacher? Be apostolic right now. If you want to pray, you pray. If you want to come to an altar, you come to an altar. If you want to shout, you shout. Come on, I'm giving you the torch right now. The mantle's right here for you, young people. Come on, greater things can happen starting this weekend, but it's up to you. It's up to us. Come on, let's get a hold of it. Let's stop playing games. Let's stop going back and forth with God. Come on, let's get serious about our calling. I'm not going to wait till I have gray hair to develop a prayer life, to fast, to read my word. I'm going to memorize scripture now. Come on, it's awesome what we did in the past, the things we gave up to live for God. It's awesome the things that we did at camp and at Youth Congress. But right now, you got to make up in your mind that the church is not going to die with the elders. Come on, elders, would you find a young person right now and pray with them? Come on, find a young person right now and pray with them. Come on, fight the good fight. Come on, fight for the faith that was once given to us by the elders. Come on, the greater things are going to happen, but we must have a covenant. God, I've been playing around on Instagram so much. I've been so caught up in Facebook and what's going on in the world. I haven't even talked to you today. I haven't taught a Bible study in months. Come on, whatever your prayer is, say it to God right now. Yeah, I go to church. Yes, I look the part. Yes, I'm involved, but I haven't been praying like I should. I haven't been fasting like I should. I don't know the Word of God like I should. I haven't been teaching Bible studies, winning souls, and making disciples. Come on, stop worrying about everybody else right now. This is your time. God's looking at you, Joshua. Are you going to make the decision to live for me or not? Come on, God has given you dreams. He's called you to do incredible things, but the only way that's going to happen is if you have a covenant with God. Come on, if you're new and you've never been to an apostolic church, it's okay. What a covenant means is God just wants to have a relationship with you. God just wants to talk with you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to use your story to let others know about His love. Come on, young people. You got to pray with a boldness. When you worship, you better worship with everything you have. Come on, I know it might not be every Sunday, but when's the last time you just shouted unto the Lord? It doesn't matter what my friends are doing. I'm living for God, for me. Come on, I'm tired of seeing young people backslide because they don't have a hold of the truth. I'm tired of talent going to the grave with the young people. I'm tired of callings going to the graveyard. Come on, dig up those dreams right now. God is still going to use you. There's nothing too dirty that He can't clean and make worthy. You still have a calling of God on your life. The gifts of God are without repentance. God wants to use you. Get a hold of them right now. Come on, elders, I'm calling on you. I need you now to intercede for this younger generation. Come on, I need you to pass the torch. Come on, I need you to impart your spirit of faithfulness into them. This world is trying to eat them alive, elders. We got to pray for our young people. This world is cruel. The devil isn't fighting fair, elders. We better pray hard. We better intercede hard right now for their souls. If you would, everyone look at me for just a moment. If you would, everyone look at me for just a moment. What I see right now is what I've been in so many times. I feel something in my heart. I feel I need to make a change. And what do? I go as far as I've gone before. Yeah, I cry. Yes, I speak in tongues. And it feels great. But then I go back to the same life that I lived before. We've been here before, young people. We've been here before. So what I want us to do, this whole sanctuary is going to be an altar. So many times when you can get lost in the altar and just fit in because everyone else is praying, you don't look like you're really not giving your all. I want you to find somewhere in this place, whether it's kneeling under a chair, going to a corner. I want you to find somewhere right now, and I want you to get a hold of God. And I want you to have a Jacob to Israel experience where you do not leave until God touches you like he never has before, until God blesses you and calls you and anoints you, and you feel a breaking in your spirit where you say, God, you are Lord of all in my life. And we're going to lift our voices one more time. Would you find somewhere to pray? You might need to kneel. You might need to lay down. If you want to stand up, that's fine. But let's not just go through the motions and do what we've always done. We're going to get what we've always got if we keep doing what we've always done. That's it, elders. I want you to just go around and pray with young people. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. When's the last time we've just lingered in the presence of God? Don't let this moment pass you by. The elders are dying, and young people, it's our job to get a hold of it. Let's keep the church going. That's it. Lift your voice to God right now. It's you and God right now. It's you and God right now. Come on, we're going to have fun later on, but right now it's you and God. Come on, he's already forgiven you. We've wasted time. God's forgiven you for that. We've sinned. God's forgiven us. It's over. Let's move on and let's make that commitment for God right now. Let's get serious about the Word of God.
I will be what you've called me to be. And I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. Oh, what you've called me to be, I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. And I will be what you've called me to be. I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. Lord, that's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire mission and lead is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be.
That's awesome, young people. Let's pray one more moment. Come on, let's go a little bit deeper just for one more moment. Let's not be satisfied. Let's lift up our voice one more time. Come on, that's it. Let's lift up our voice one more time. All across this room, God's not done yet. Come on, press in His presence.
Oh, I say yes. Lord, I agree.
Come on, we know so much about sports. And that's fine, but where's the oneness of God found? Where's the new birth found? Can we explain it to somebody? We better get serious about it. We can't rely on Google. His word, we better hide in our heart. We better get serious about it now.
To be.
That's it. I believe in you. You sacrificed a lot, but your sacrifice isn't over. You got to keep going. You got to keep giving. Come on, let's evaluate where we're spending our time. What really matters? Have fun, do all that stuff, but what really matters? We better get a kingdom mind.
That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I say yes. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be.
That's it. Enough of the excuses. Enough of why you're not good enough. Enough about this and that. Let's get serious about the Word of God. There's a world that's dying and lost, and they're depending on this younger generation to possess the greater things. We got to get serious about it tonight.
My hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
That's it, young people. Now I want you to go and pray with a friend right now. Lay hands on a friend and possess those greater things. God said He's going to use you, so be used now. Speak into someone's life. Pray for your friend right now. You don't have to wait till you're older. You can be used of God right now. Come on, encourage someone in the Spirit right now.
Lord, you can use me.
Come on, God's doing something right now.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
You can have the mantle all day long, but you got to use it.
Take my hands, Lord.
You can have the anointing all day long, but you got to use it.
Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me.
Come on, elders.
You can use.
Let's go a little bit further in prayer, elders.
You can use me.
Come on, pastors. Let's pray a little bit more fervently right now for the sake of the younger generation.
Lord, you can use me.
Come on, the same truth that was given to me, I want to pass it on. I don't want to change it. I don't want to compromise it. I don't want to water it down.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. would speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet, and touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet, and touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet, and touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use